everyone, and welcome to the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners Board Briefing. Just sharing that Commissioner Jones Dixon is excused today at 11 a.m. Audience members, I want to start by asking you to please silence your electronic devices. For those presenting today, please turn your mic on when you begin speaking and off when you've completed your remarks. For all presenters, please state your name for the record before speaking or responding to questions. Today's first, and actually our only board briefing today, is a briefing on the FY26-FY28 Multnomah County Strategic Plan. So we have everybody is already up at the dais, so thank you so much for being here. I appreciate the opportunity today for the board to be briefed on the development of a countywide strategic plan for FY26 through FY28. This plan, funded by the board in our FY25 budget, is our chance to strategically align the work of all departments and continue our direct work to create a one-county approach to providing resources and support to our community. This will be the first countywide strategic plan in many years, and it is a huge opportunity to strengthen our culture, connections to the community, and most especially, our impacts and our outcomes. The community has evolved drastically since the last major strategic initiatives, and Multnomah County deserves a plan that will help us change and grow alongside it. As we build towards a full implementation of the strategic plan and its performance management system beginning July 1, this plan, including its focused areas, goals, strategies, and indicators, will inform the development of our fiscal year FY27 budget. I want to offer my thanks to Chris Neal for stepping into this work since April, and also to Travis Graves and Samuel Ashby, who have led this work prior to Chris's arrival, and of course to the whole COO office and Spark unit for their commitment. So thank you all, and we'll hear from many of them today. With that, I will turn it over to Chris. Good morning.
All right, good morning. I'm ready to get this thing started. Is the presentation, I imagine, gonna be up on the screen? Yeah, I wanna make sure everybody sees this work that we've got going.
All right, my name is Savannah Graff. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm a Senior Strategic Initiatives Manager in the COO's office and on the Spark team as well. Next slide, please. So for our agenda today, we'll start with opening remarks from Chris, our COO. Then we'll look at the purpose of the Spark team, how we got here, and where we're going. Then we'll dive into the strategic plan, and then we'll look at how we connect the strategic plan to the budget cycle. Next slide, please.
Okay, Christopher Neal, COO, for the record. First thing before I start talking about anything strategic plan, I want to make sure to give an acknowledgement to the people that actually made this work happen. So we got a couple slides. I'm not going to be able to read off every name, but I want to make sure that everybody can see who actually put in the work to have us be up here today. Let's go to the next slide because we got some more people to recognize. This is each one of the focus areas that you will see later on in the presentation today, and the amount of people and the time and the effort that it took to put all this work together. So again, before I start going into anything, I always like to give credit where credit is due, and slide 3 and slide 4 are those credits, and I appreciate everybody that put in the work to make this thing happen so that we can be here to present today. All right, let's go to the next one. Okay, so as you can't tell already, I'm super excited to be up here to talk to you and to unveil the first pass of the Multnomah County Strategic Plan for fiscal year 26 to 28. This plan isn't just going to be a document, but it's going to serve as our new roadmap. It's designed to unify and align all of our departments, our divisions, our programs, all under a single set of priorities and goals over the next 3 years. The plan is focused on the operations of our county, how we do the important work of our community, and what the community needs and expects from us. The responsibility of setting our priorities at the highest level, of course, falls to you all, the Board of County Commissioners. And at the same time, it's my responsibility as the Chief Operating Officer to take that direction and operationalize it. That is going to be the focus of this strategic plan. Creating this strategic plan was not a top-down process. We worked with staff, department leaders, and the front line, and you all, our elected officials, to ensure that every one of us can see our work reflected in this plan. This collaborative approach ensures that our everyday tasks are directly connected to our countywide goals. The details of this plan were developed by cohorts, which I acknowledged earlier in the last slide, of subject matter experts for each of the six strategic focus areas that you will see in a few moments. To make sure that we were on the right track and gather feedback, the ERU team, led by Allison Sachet, and yes, I like saying her name as much as I can, conducted an all-staff survey that was open for 2 weeks, receiving an impressive 1,177 responses. The majority of these responses, and this is important, came from the front line, non-supervisory staff, ensuring the feedback was truly representative of those directly providing services to our community. The results were incredibly encouraging, showing broad support and a clear sense of direction from our workforce. For all the outcomes presented in the plan, more than 80% of employees indicated that they either like or really like the statement that was put before them. This strong consensus highlights a shared vision among staff for the county's future, and it also underscores the need for this to continue to be a collaborative effort. This strategic plan is also grounded in our refreshed mission, vision, and values, which were updated in August of 2024, and they serve as the foundation for this entire project. Caraggio Group, who led the development of the mission, vision, values, was a critical partner in launching the strategic planning process, ensuring that we maintain momentum despite internal transitions. The project was initially sponsored by an interim COO, which the chair mentioned earlier, and the COO team, I guarantee you, was not in place nowhere near what it is that you see in front of you today. Caraggio handled the heavy lifting of project management and facilitation, including scheduling and conducting key interviews with leadership and managing cohort sessions. Their work has allowed us to be able to synthesize crucial findings efficiently, kept the project on track, and ensured the delivery of a comprehensive plan. This plan provides a framework for making tough decisions, especially in our challenging and unpredictable environment. It also will help us provide our highest operational needs, ensure essential services remain accessible, and adapt to a changing world without losing sight of our core mission and our values. This plan also complements and supports existing strategic plans, such as the Workforce Equity Strategic Plan and the Homelessness Response Action Plan. And as we drafted this plan, we have worked to align the outcomes of the HRAP and the WESP with the outcomes and the priorities of this plan. And our work after this will be focused on aligning data and ensuring its coordination. You will see in this presentation that we are just at the beginning of our journey to implement and actualize the strategic plan. The journey will continue after this briefing. We're not done. With our focus over the coming months on incorporating your feedback into the final draft, finalizing the plan and budget processes, and how they will align to inform the budget, as the chair mentioned, next fiscal year, as well as establishing a regular cadence of accountability reviews, board work sessions, and continuous improvement practices across our organization. And the last thing I'll say is that this plan must be more than just managing current challenges. It's got to be about building a stronger and more responsive government that can remain focused on what's important for years to come. And now I'll turn it over to the architect himself, Sam Ashby.
Hello, everyone. I'm Samuel Ashby. I'm the Director of Strategic Initiatives for the SPARC unit. Next slide, please. The SPARC unit was tasked with making this strategic plan a reality, and this team will be the engine that will help the county implement and sustain this plan. Housed in the office of the Chief Operating Officer, the SPARC team will work directly with departments to set clear goals, develop a robust data and performance management system, and align the strategic plan with our budget and operational processes. It is made up of two strategic initiative managers, Savannah Graff and Hayden Miller, and our evaluation and research unit led by Allison Sachet. The SPARC team will also help to build a more responsive, future-ready government by fostering a culture of continuous improvement innovation, and data-driven decision-making. They will also leverage the expertise of the Evaluation and Research Unit to maximize our impact and coordinate with department-specific data and evaluation teams. Next slide, please. So how did we get here? Our strategic planning journey began with an initial leadership council survey. This crucial first step allowed us to tap into the high-level perspectives of our most senior leaders. The survey served as a foundational exercise, helping us to, one, identify initial thoughts on key priorities and challenges facing the county. Two, gauge early alignment and potential areas of divergence among leadership. Three, establish a broad work framework for the strategic themes that would guide our subsequent work. This initial input was vital in setting the stage for more detailed discussions. Following the survey, we conducted 20 in-depth interviews with members of the board and county leadership. These one-on-one conversations were instrumental in gaining a deeper understanding of specific concerns, aspirations, and strategic insights. With a clear picture from county leadership, we then established six cohort focus areas. Each cohort was deliberately composed of a diverse group of department leaders and subject matter experts. This approach allowed us to, one, leverage the deep operational knowledge and specialized expertise within our various departments. Two, foster cross-departmental collaboration and ensure a holistic view of countywide challenges and opportunities. Three, develop granular, actionable insights within specific domains, ensuring our strategy was grounded in practical realities and an expert understanding. These cohorts were the engine room of our strategic development, refining ideas, and proposing solutions. The outputs from these focus cohorts were then rigorously reviewed through Deputy COO and Department Director feedback sessions. This critical review step ensured that the proposed strategic directions were feasible and aligned with organizational structures and resources. Finally, to ensure broad alignment and foster a shared sense of ownership, we conducted an all-staff resonance check survey. This countywide survey allowed every employee to provide input and react to the strategic themes and priorities that had emerged. Next slide, please. So let's talk now a little bit about where we're headed. This isn't just about having a great document, it's about making it live and breathe in our day-to-day operations. Much like a baby crawling to test their capabilities, we are beginning to exercise our organizational muscles by aligning our strategic, budget, and operational work plans. Using a learn-by-doing practice, we will improve our ability to walk and then ultimately to run our strategic budget and operational work plans with precision. To truly succeed, every department across Multnomah County will need to fully align their work with this strategic plan. This means creating a concrete, direct connection between teams' day-to-day work and the plan's overarching objectives. We're asking every department to evaluate and, where necessary, orient programs, services, and partnerships to directly support focus areas and outcomes. When departments propose a new initiative, it should clearly demonstrate how it rolls up into our countywide strategy. This alignment will be formally integrated into our annual budget process. The budget cycle will become the primary mechanism for ensuring that funding decisions directly support the strategic plan. Departmental program office will need to explicitly show how they can contribute to our specified indicators and measurables. This creates a clear line of sight, ensuring every dollar is allocated strategically towards a more thriving Multnomah County. The formal implementation of the Multnomah County strategic plan will begin July 1st of 2026. The period between now and then is dedicated to critical preparatory tasks to ensure that we are ready, which includes, first and foremost, aligning the strategic plan with the budget process. Two, implementing a performance management system. And then three, onboarding leadership and staff to these new processes. Next slide, please. Looking at where we are today, we will take feedback from this board briefing to help us finalize the strategic plan. We are working with the budget team to align the strategic plan with budget processes and program offers for the FY27 budget cycle. The Evaluation and Research Unit, aka the ERU team, has also begun an inventory of existing data that departments collect, which will be matching to indicators and measurables or identifying where we need to fill in gaps. between late September and late October. After finalizing how the strategic plan will integrate with the budget process, we will convene and onboard department leaders to these new systems and processes. We will work with departments through our six strategic focus areas to identify the top strategies that the county will employ to move the needle on our key indicators. During this month, we will also conduct a community survey. In November, we will return to the board to present the final draft of the strategic plan, as well as the strategies that were identified by department leaders for each focus area. We will also answer questions about how the strategic plan will integrate into the FY26 budget process. Finally, in December, we will reconvene department leaders at focus area tables to prioritize our key strategies based on the budget guidance from the chair and a November financial forecast. That exercise will inform the development of the departmental budget submissions in January, which will be complemented with a narrative from the COO's office explaining how department budget submissions are aligned with the strategic plan. Next slide, please. What you see before you is our long-term plan beginning in FY27. Beginning with this at the start of the fiscal year, July 1st, 2026, we will transition into our ongoing performance tracking and continuous improvement process. In July, we will reconcile the strategic plan with any substantial changes that occurred during the budget process and will set our one-year goals for key strategies and measurables. In September, we will have our first quarterly accountability check-in where focus area teams will review data to identify and address challenges and barriers to our implementation efforts. The COO's office will provide written updates to the board after each of these quarterly check-ins. In October, we will come back to the board for a work session, which will be your priority outside of the annual budget process to provide input on what needs to be modified or reprioritized in the strategic plan. At that point, we will continue our quarterly accountability check-ins and roll into the budget development process along the same format that we'll be using this year, as I have described earlier. Next slide, please.
I'm going to briefly walk you through the core structure of the strategic plan. Think of this plan as our central roadmap for the next 3 years. It's not just a document, it's our guide. It clearly defines where we're heading, highlights the key milestones we'll look for along the way, and outlines the specific steps we need to take to get there. It provides clarity and direction for our organization. To visualize this, we chose a pyramid. This design works well because our strategic plan is a hierarchy where each level supports the one above it, building from specific actions up to our overarching priorities. At the base of the pyramid are our strategies. These are the specific actions, projects, and initiatives we will undertake to achieve our goals. These are the concrete steps that turn our plans into reality, whether we are ongoing operational tasks or new finite projects. Building on those strategies, we have measures. These are the precise metrics used to quantify the indicators, specifying how data will be collected and analyzed. This ensures consistency and accuracy in how we collect and report data across the county. The next layer up is our indicators. These are the specific data points that tell us we're moving in the right direction. While a measure is a specific number, an indicator is the aggregated data that confirms our progress. We'll evaluate these indicators annually to give us a clear snapshot. The next level is our outcomes. These are the specific measurable results we aim to achieve. They describe the desired state of affairs or the concrete impact we want to have. Outcomes are crucial because they represent the direct evidence that our work is making a tangible difference for our community members. At the very top of the pyramid are our focus areas. These are the overarching high priorities that the county will concentrate over the next 3 years. They represent our major commitments and are the big themes or challenges that will guide our efforts, resource allocation, and decision making. These aren't daily tasks, but rather the broad impact areas that set the stage for everything else, and they are what everything at every other level of the pyramid is in service of. Next slide, please.
Our strategic plan is built upon six core focus areas, which are our broadest priorities. Then within those, we define our desired outcomes, i.e. the measurable results. Our first focus area is support community health and wellness. This is about being a trusted source of information and providing community-centered services, especially those most impacted by inequities. From our leadership interviews, key ideas emerge, such as maintaining robust behavioral and physical health services, actively working to improve health equity across the county, supporting critical substance use disorder treatment, and a dedicated effort to reduce homelessness.
Next slide, please. Focus Area 2 is create a safe and just community. Our goal is to support people impacted by crime, including survivors and justice-involved people, and to create safer communities for everyone. Leadership highlighted key ideas like reducing community violence, promoting restorative practices, and fostering safe and thriving community environments. Next slide, please.
Focus Area 3. Next up is strengthen community vitality and resilience. This area is about building our capacity to respond to crises and fostering a diverse, thriving local economy. Leadership emphasized integrating climate preparedness into our operations, addressing critical transportation infrastructure needs, increasing our overall emergency preparedness, boosting economic vitality, and enhancing education and literacy across the county. Next slide, please.
Focus Area 4 is be accountable, collaborative, and transparent. This focus area is being committed to making transparent, data-driven decisions and fostering better collaboration both internally and with the community. Leadership identified key ideas such as supporting strong intergovernmental collaboration, ensuring fair and transparent elections, strengthening community engagement and outreach efforts, and maintaining a clear, transparent budget process. Next slide, please.
Focus Area 5, improve operational excellence. This focus area is all about our workforce. We want to ensure employees feel connected to our mission, are proud of their work, and have a culture of continuous improvement. Key ideas that emerged from these leadership interviews highlighted nurturing a positive staff culture, actively working to break down silos between departments for improved service delivery, and addressing critical process improvement needs across the organization. Next slide, please.
Our sixth and final focus area is invest in our future. This area highlights our long-term vision and concentrates on creating a unified and equitable system for youth and families across Multnomah County. Key ideas from leadership include comprehensive youth and family support, ensuring youth have access to food, housing, and health care, and creating robust youth development that empowers our next generation, and supporting preschool for all. Next slide, please. Our first outcome under this focus area is Multnomah County is a trusted source for health, wellness, and safety information. This means people feel confident in the information and guidance they receive from us. To track this, our indicators include health disparity rates, childhood vaccination rates, and trust in community programs. Next slide, please. Our second outcome is that Multnomah County provides community-centered services, prioritizing those most impacted by inequities. This speaks to our dedication to equitable service delivery. Key indicators here are rate of homelessness, rate of addiction and improved mental health, and quality of life for seniors and people living with disabilities. Next slide, please.
Our first outcome in this area is to support people impacted by crime, including justice-involved people and survivors through prevention and resiliency. This is about providing essential pathways to healing and support. Our indicators include access to support services for all people impacted by crime and access to services in carceral settings. Our second outcome within Create a Safe and Just Community is safe neighborhoods throughout Multnomah County. This aims for a tangible improvement in public safety and justice. Key indicators here are rate of recidivism, accountable, successful, consistent, and transparent enforcement of laws, and community perception of safety in their neighborhoods and workplaces. Next slide, please.
Next slide, please. Focus Area 3. Our first outcome under this focus area is that Multnomah County is prepared for and resilient to a wide range of challenging circumstances. This focuses on building our collective ability to withstand and recover from disruptions. Our indicators include staff preparedness to meet community needs, regional partnership alignment, and county goals with county goals and outcomes, employee participation in response actions during extreme weather events, and the number of resilient facilities and infrastructure. Next slide, please. Our second outcome is that Multnomah County is a diverse and thriving community through economic vitality. This means fostering an inclusive and prosperous local economy. Key indicators include growth in the number of small businesses, rate of unemployment, number of living wage jobs, and rate of volunteerism and civic engagement. Next slide, please.
Focus area four, be accountable, collaborative, and transparent. Our first outcome is that Multnomah County builds public trust through transparent, data-driven decisions and leadership in fiscal stewardship. This emphasizes our dedication to good governance and responsible resource management. Our indicators include public trust in the county and services provided, the number of dashboards and reports made publicly available, and website traffic resulting from improved user experience and accessibilities. Next slide, please. Our second outcome under Be Accountable, Collaborative, and Transparent is diverse community engagement and internal collaboration. This is about ensuring all voices are heard and our internal teams work seamlessly. Key indicators are the number of community grant applications and awards, the number of formal partnerships with community-based organizations, the number of cross-jurisdictional projects or initiatives, and the rate of participation in county activities by diverse community groups. Next slide, please.
Our first outcome under Focus Area 5 is that employees feel connected to the county's mission and are proud of providing quality services. This speaks directly to fostering an engaged and motivated workforce. Our indicators include engagement and implementation of WESP initiatives, employee satisfaction with the work they are proud of, usage and engagement rates of internal communications, and participation in employee recognition ceremonies. Next slide, please. Our second outcome is to foster a workplace culture that is equitable, responsive, accountable, and drives proactive continuous improvement. This is about building a dynamic and fair internal environment. Key indicators are efficient, data-informed processes that maximize service quality and resource use, positive workplace culture and practices of employee growth and learning, and cross-departmental sharing of best practices. Next slide, please.
Focus area six, invest in our future, outcome one. Our sole outcome here is to build a unified and equitable youth and family system. This is our commitment to the next generation. Our indicators include growth in preschool for all seats, rate of juvenile homelessness, rate of juveniles entering the justice system, and community literacy, including third grade reading level improvements. Next slide, please. So when discussing our approach, you'll often hear our team reference upstream, midstream, and downstream investments. It is important to remember that Multnomah County isn't solely responsible for some of these initiatives. We have to work in close partnership with other jurisdictions that own these priority response areas. Upstream investments focuses on prevention, getting to the root cause of issues before they even start. These proactive solutions create a healthier and more stable environment for everyone, often at a lower long-term cost. For example, access to mental and behavioral health services and affordable housing initiatives are key upstream investments that require collaboration with our partners. Midstream investments are about intervention. This is where we and our partners step in when early signs of a problem appear. The goal is to address issues promptly and to prevent them from escalating. A great example is rental assistance programs, a midstream investment that helps to prevent individuals from becoming homeless in the first place. And finally, downstream investments represent our safety net programs and efforts to reduce harm. This is where we provide immediate support and crisis response for individuals already experiencing significant challenges. The focus is on mitigating harm and stabilizing situations when other efforts have not been sufficient. Street-based outreach and rapid rehousing initiatives are essential downstream efforts that we implement with our jurisdictional partners to connect people with the resources that they need. Next slide, please.
To achieve these goals, we will focus on five overarching strategies that span all departments. These will guide the development of department-specific goals and strategies that flow up into this strategic plan. One, prioritizing services for high-need individuals and groups is about ensuring that our highest-need populations get the support they need. Two, interagency and cross-departmental collaboration. This is about breaking down internal silos and working more effectively across departments and with external partners to deliver more coordinated services. Three, data-driven decision-making. This is about being committed to using data, best practices, and community feedback to guide our policies and budget decisions. Four, supporting employees in workforce development. This is about knowing that our employees are our greatest asset. By investing in their development, well-being, and retention, they can be proud of the work that they do and that the county as a whole does. And five, enhancing community engagement and communication. By building authentic, trusting relationships with the community and proactively promoting our services in a way that is culturally and linguistically appropriate. Next slide, please.
So I want to tell you a little bit about our staff feedback efforts. To ensure our strategic plan truly resonated with everyone within the workforce, we conducted a comprehensive all-staff residence check survey. This was a crucial step to gathering feedback directly from the heart of our organization, our employees. The draft focus areas and outcomes were shared with the entire workforce to collect their feedback. Respondents who indicated that they were senior managers or above were also given the opportunity to review indicators. The survey was open over the course of 2 weeks, and we received an impressive total of 1,177 responses. The majority of those responses came from frontline, non-supervising employees, ensuring the feedback was representative of those directly providing services to the public. Next slide, please. The survey results show broad support with and a clear sense of direction from the workforce. For all outcomes presented, more than 80% of employees indicated that they like or really like the statement. The strong consensus highlights a shared vision among the staff for the county's future. Certain outcomes resonated even more strongly, with 90% or more employees liking or really liking the outcome, including Multnomah County is a trusted source for health, wellness, and safety information. Transparent, data-driven decision-making, fiscal stewardship, and clear and timely communication. And employees feel connected to the county's mission and are proud of providing county services. Next slide, please. And while the feedback was overwhelmingly positive, staff also identified areas for improvement, providing valuable guidance for the next steps as we finalize the strategic plan. Employees expressed a need for more plain language and less jargon, and they requested more measurable outcomes that clearly articulate the specific changes the county is working toward. Additionally, the survey results revealed a need to establish a shared understanding of frequently used terms such as transparent and equitable. Next slide, please.
For the record, my name is Hayden Miller. I'm a senior strategic initiatives manager in the office of the COO and the Spark team. So in order to truly embed the strategic plan into our operations, a critical piece of this is ensuring that there is direct alignment between the strategic planning process and its continuous improvement framework and our budgeting process and its annual cycle. In order to, because of that, this will not just be a conceptual link, but it will be about integrating our ambitious goals that we have and our community expects from us into the way that we prioritize our resources. To facilitate this work, we are establishing the Strategy and Performance Management Committee. This body is led by our COO, Chris Neal, and consists of staff from the COO's office, the budget office, and the chair's office. The primary purpose of this committee is to create consensus among county leadership on how our budget directly aligns with the strategic plan. It's about moving from a broad vision to concrete, actionable connections. The committee's main output will be a detailed process plan that clarifies several key areas. First, the strategic plan and budget scope. They'll decide how our strategic plan's focus areas, goals, strategies, and indicators will be formally incorporated into upcoming program offers and the budget development process, particularly for the next fiscal year. Second, budgetary performance measurement. The plan will also address how existing budget performance metrics and elements such as program offers, performance measures, and departmental strategic goals will connect with the new strategic plan. We want to ensure continuity and eliminate redundancy. Third, the strategic plan's organizational role in reporting. This committee will build consensus on how the strategic plan's progress reporting will relate to, complement, or potentially replace existing budget reporting elements. And last, calendars and glossary. This committee will establish a clear schedule for aligning strategic planning, progress reporting, and budgeting. We'll also create a glossary of common strategic and budgetary terms to ensure that we're all speaking the same language. Next slide, please. This important work will be driven by a dedicated team with clear roles. Our sponsor, Chris Neal, will provide the overall vision, guidance, and expectations for the project. The project leads, Samuel Ashby, Christian Elkin, and Sarah Ryan, are responsible for determining key goals, identifying gaps, removing barriers, and providing leadership for this alignment. The project team, consisting of Allison Sachet, Savannah Graff, Aaron Kaufman, and myself, will conduct the day-to-day effort of this committee, provide essential support, keep the project on schedule, and offer vital feedback to leadership. And the data consortium, led by Allison Sachet, Aaron Kaufman, and our departmental and central evaluation research staff, will ensure the data aspects of this work are tightly integrated and tie into our key performance indicators. Next slide, please.
Okay, I think I'm the close out here. First off, I'd also want to say thank you to each one of you, Commissioners Wise, for over the last couple months. I know we've been in your offices multiple times to get feedback and how we can incorporate it into the strategic plan today or in our process improvement approach. So thank you for that. Again, this is the initial phase. We're not at 30,000 feet yet, but the wheels are off the ground, which I'm extremely proud of. And as we get feedback over the next couple months, we'll be back here in front of you and we'll take that feedback in, like I said, as a continuous improvement approach. Other than that, I think we are open for questions or discussion, whichever you prefer. I also want to say, too, before I close this thing, shout out to Savannah. There were a lot of words on the slide before, so all that fancy illustration was Savannah, by the way, so I'd love that. Thank you.
Thank you. She's going to be a high demand at the county because the graphics on here are really great. So great work, Savannah. Thank you so much for walking through all of this. I think I appreciate the fact that we are not, there aren't like dozens of different things for each one. It's trying to be as focused as possible. And I know that took a lot of work of talking to many, many people to get us to that point. So I appreciate that. Today, I want to start with Commissioner Jones-Sixon, since you do have to leave at 11. I want to make sure you have a chance to get your questions answered.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Chair, and thank you for just the work and the constant communication, collaboration over the last few months. Really, really appreciate it. I agree with staff as far as getting clear, as far as the specific items for the community and justice. So I'm looking forward with our office working with you on that as far as outcomes and indicators. And I guess the only question and or feedback for the board is just like, how does this work tie into the work that we're going to be continuing or with the work plan? So that's just outside. I don't have any additional questions because I know this is going to be a process that we'll be diving into over the next 6 months. Outside of the continuous improvement manager position, where do they fit into this, or have they been hired already?
Role has been posted. We are currently getting in submissions. We'll start the interview process soon. That continuous improvement manager resource will be working with departments in developing their strategic plans and working to tie the strategy to the budget cycle and then ultimately to the operational plans.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. And Commissioner Jones-Dixon, just to share, we do have on the snapshot, we're planning to have a work session around the board work plan on September 16th, so just in a couple weeks. All right, Commissioner Brim Edwards.
Thanks for the presentation. I'm going to ask you to speak up because my ears are slightly plugged up. I have some feedback, if that's okay, and also some questions. And some of this, the feedback, I think I've already shared in our pre-meetings, and I really appreciate that. I'm glad to see the strategic plan moving forward. I think it aligns our sense of, help align our sense of purpose and our resources behind what we want to accomplish. I'm just going to flip through the slides and just provide some specific comments. On the focus area four, which is to be accountable, collaborative, and transparent, one of the themes that came out is from leadership interviews is supporting a transparent budget process. And then when I looked back into like how that plays out into outcomes, from my perspective, a transparent budget process is just an activity. The outcome seems like that we would want to have an effective use of county funds, which is really more about accountability versus, yes, we should have a transparent budget process, but the purpose would be so that we're using our funds effectively. Just a general comment, and I know I've said this every single time we've had a discussion, but I'm really interested in getting having this link to SMART goals so that we're very clear about where we're trying to head. If you don't have a SMART goals, then you never miss your goals, which can be convenient. However, I really think to align our work and to get our resources aligned behind what we want to do, we have to be really specific about what we want to accomplish, and I don't see that in here yet. The pre-brief I had some goals in which I had comments on, but I'm not seeing this in here, so I just think we have to be really clear about what we're trying to accomplish. That would just, as I go through this, one way that would play out in terms of what we're trying to accomplish is, for example, an indicator on supporting community health and wellness. It says like the rate of homelessness. I mean, that is so generic. It could be we're just tracking the rate of homelessness. It can go up and down, and we're not trying to impact that. So really being clear about where we're trying to go in terms of the rate of homelessness. Again, I think that will generate really good conversations about how we're using our resources and the activities we're doing. If we're crystal clear about where we're trying to go, and then we better understand barriers and challenges, and you know if we need to deploy resources. And the create a safe and just community. In Multnomah County, we see very different impacts and perception, both perceptions and reality of what's a safe and just community. Even within my own district, there's huge variations about just in terms of rates of crime, gun violence within just my district. And I don't think we can have indicators that don't have some sort of geographic detail and goals, because if we just average it out, we could make Multnomah County safer, but we'll still have neighborhoods, which we have right now, that are just greatly impacted by gun violence and crime. So I really want to see that broken out. It's because it's not, I don't think it's a countywide. The countywide goals, they really need to be geographically specific, because a countywide goal, I think, will perhaps lead us at the end of the implementation of the strategic plan is like we were successful, and you'll still see real disparities across the community. Also, in the safe and just community, I don't see gun violence specifically called out in this presentation, and again, that's, if you look across the county, there's specific areas in our county that this is, you know, something that we have to get after, and it, having tragic outcomes for specific neighborhoods. We also don't call out property crime and auto theft, which I think impacts affordability in many neighborhoods because of insurance and everything else, and just the, sort of the day-to-day impact on livability. On strengthening community vitality, A recommended indicator, I would say, is whether we have the tax revenue to support county services. Because if we don't have the economic activity to support our services, then our goals as a county, I think, will be impacted. We don't have, I would suggest also, an indicator around retention of businesses as well. Operational excellence. I'm supportive of the outcomes that we have. I do think, though, one of the outcomes of operational excellence should be that our operations are actually achieving our strategic plan goals. So we want to do these other things, but also our operations should be, if we have operational excellence, then we're achieving our goals. I would also add somewhere as an indicator that something related to our audits, is that's another place where we have a tool for operational excellence. Okay, a question on the data collection. I love that we really reach deep into our employee base to get feedback. I'm wondering what feedback or input we had from county residents on what they want from the county government. Recent, the last couple of years, most of the surveys that we've done have had our community saying the county is heading in the wrong direction. So I'm curious about what plans are to survey or get feedback from county residents on the plan.
Samuel Ashby, Director of Strategic Initiative. So the plan is to conduct a community survey in October. That would be getting feedback on the current strategic plan, and then we're going to work with the Office of OIC in really trying to incorporate a longer-term community engagement framework. So how do we help the community to understand or assess the community's understanding of our strategic goals and whether or not the work that we're doing in the community is actually impacting the way that we expect it?
So that's the one way in which we'll get community feedback?
Yes.
And I guess I'm going to just, my last question will be, at what point will we get the very clear, measurable goals that we're trying to accomplish in that chart? Because if we're at the inflection point about getting ready to walk, at what point will we have those? Because I think that those will be, for me, very important, a very important milestone in the plan.
Yes, the plan will be when we come back in November to have the measurable goals. So again, these will be one-year goals, as you have expressed, SMART goals, which will include the denominator. What are we ultimately trying to impact over the course of the 3 years? And then what are we trying to impact over year one specifically?
So we're not going to get, if the strategic plan is fully implemented over the 3 years, we're not going to be, here's where we want to be in 3 years, we're just going to have the first year increment?
No, the goal would be to have ultimately where we want to impact over 3 years, but what we're trying to call out is the year one goal. And so if we're, for example, let's say that I'm using this as a representative example, trying to reduce homelessness by 9,000 people over the course of 3 years, if we set a goal and a target of year one of 3,000, and we achieve actually 2,000, then we would have to have a corrective action or a mitigating plan to make up that remainder.
So just, I understand what you're saying. So at that point we'll have, here's the 3-year goal, and here's what we expect to do over the first year. Okay, and will those measurable outcomes be, or those goals, will they be in draft format, or I've seen some of the initial proposed measurable goals, but will they be in a draft format or final form?
Well, they will be in a draft in the sense that we're bringing it to the to this body for ultimately, essentially accepting the measures that we've identified.
Thank you.
Thanks. I had a follow-up question on that, though, and this was just, I think, the difference between slides 9 and 10. If Tasia, if you could bring that up real quick. I just want to make sure I'm clear on what things are going to look like, too. So on slides 9, it says, like, the finalized strategic plan is going to be brought forward in November, and there will be a board presentation around that. And then on the next slide, slide 10, it says July of, you know, I'm assuming July of this year, reconcile plan and set year one goals. Is that, but you're saying we're going to have goals?
Okay. One is for, the first slide is to get us on track for FY26,
okay,
all the way through to December. The following slide is the long-term plan, how we would want to run this particular connection between strategy and budget over the course of a traditional fiscal year.
Okay. So we will have goals, like you said. We are going to have goals in November. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Great. Okay. Just wanted to make sure it was clear on that. Thank you. Commissioner Singleton.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you all for the presentation, but all the work that I know has gone in behind the scenes on this, and thank you for the regular check-ins on this. It's been really helpful to be able to come along as it's being developed. I think I'll follow on a piece that Commissioner Brim Edwards was talking about and just ask you to consider doing the community survey earlier. I think there's opportunity for it to actually influence department development budgets, and so doing it even a month earlier gives you time to look at the data and actually get something back out to them, and I would absolutely love to see more community input into our budget process. I think similarly, I know we didn't talk through the measurables today, so I won't go into each specific one, but I'm definitely interested in the measurables. In the draft, there was just some incongruence where some of the indicators are great, but I didn't see a measurable that matched the indicator. And quality of life is one of the examples where there are some standardized tools. I'm a big social science research nerd. There are some really standardized tools that we use to measure quality of life, to measure different health equity outcomes. I really want us to use those and not reinvent something, because being able to use that and look at national data as it compares to ours could be really powerful. So I want to put that ask out there that you take a look at what those opportunities are and those survey instruments are. The other piece on community engagement that we talked a little bit about, so I want to say it out loud here, is a lot of our work, not just in what you all are doing, but in the departments, relies on community coming to us. And I would really love to see how we're shifting that model of community engagement, and we're going into community. Where are the places that we can show up with our information, with our questions, with our materials? And that's not something that just falls on you all. It's a department component, and I just wonder how, since that's one of the goals in here, how we can start working some of that in where we're the ones making the effort, as opposed to community making the effort to come to us. And then one other piece on the staff survey. So it was about an 18% response rate, if I'm doing my math correctly, about 6,500 employees. So I'm just curious if there's a large number of folks who didn't participate, and just wondering what are some opportunities to maybe hear from the people who it feels like there's a self-selection and participation that relates to I'm already into this. And so I'm curious if we're missing something from the folks who maybe didn't participate. And I don't expect you to survey everybody or talk to everybody. Just wondering how we supplement a survey tool when we know it just generally has poor response rates. That's not you. Y'all are right within the average. But it's just not, it sometimes isn't the best tool to get the feedback of the folks who maybe have some disagreements. And so just making sure, let's interrogate ourselves a little bit and make sure we capture what we need to there. So the question I'll have on the measurables is just when we might get to see those in draft. I think I saw some in here, some in the original draft plan, and just wondering when we'll get to see something that's a little more concrete so we can say, really do that matching of does this measure the indicator that it's connected to.
Well, the plan is obviously to start working with departments in developing their measurables and understanding the goals that they're trying to reach and with direction from Chris. Obviously, in our one-on-ones, as we start to move towards finalization, I'll be sharing those with you individually, but our goal is to come back to you with those in November.
Thank you. Sorry, I missed that connection to November earlier. The last thing I'll say, which I also said to you, is some of the measurables and indicators in the safe communities category are things that we don't actually control. And so making sure that we're not holding ourselves accountable to something that we don't implement, it could be really interesting data to pull, but it would be working with our partners to pull the data. So I just want to make sure we're not setting our departments up to report on stuff where they don't actually control what stabilize convictions, just things that we're not necessarily the people to fully implement. Like a reduced crime rate.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I agree with that. Sometimes the most important priorities in our community, we know the most important priorities in our community are not things that we have 100% control over. So we have to be really consider where we can show measurable difference from the work that the county does and some of the things that are going to be beyond the scope of really what we have ultimate control over. So, all right, Commissioner Moyer.
Thank you. A lot of my questions and comments have been covered. I share some concerns about indicators. I share more concerns about your measures not being, I don't think, get to what we're trying to get to, or we don't have control over it, or it's missing a verb. So it just says number of people receiving more than one county service at a time. 12. That's not a measure. There is one area that when I went through it, jumped out at me because it's just an area which I have a lot of background that I was like, whoa, I am very worried if this made it to this piece of paper. And that is under outcome indicators for focus area one, support community health and wellness. In outcome two, you go to outcome two measures examples. This is increased number of licensed homes serving individuals with developmental disabilities. Why would we put that? And do you know why I find that profoundly problematic?
Ma'am, I do not.
Okay. Because overwhelmingly, people with intellectual and developmental disabilities do not want to live in congregate settings and do not need to live in congregate settings. The reason they are in a congregate setting is because they do not have access to housing. So if you're saying that our goal here is, and I assume this is quality of life, because that's the only disability related, working to create more settings, which is exactly where people with intellectual and developmental disabilities do not want to be, is exactly wrong. So yes, we have the role of licensing, but how it got into increase the number of license settings when that is like completely contrary to what the community wants, I don't know how we got there, and that makes me like super, super nervous. It makes me wonder, what are our values in our DD system? Because it should be person-centered, person-driven. That is like the mantra that was created for the disability rights community is nothing about us without us. I would be blown away if any group of self-advocates would have said, we want more congregate settings. So again, I don't know your process. Maybe that was just an example that was thrown out. But you know, I want to make sure that what we're putting as like how we measure success, that it really tracks all the way up. And I saw that with a couple of other things where I'm like, I'm not really sure that's the goal when it gets down. Under area three, strengthening community vitality and resilience, you know, I think about what is in our control and what we should be holding ourselves to. I don't know how much we can grow the number of small businesses. Certainly Preschool for All is an incredibly effective way of growing small businesses. But I'm really, and this has increased the number of local minority women-owned emerging small businesses. Again, Preschool for All, I would put up. What I would love to see is, are we measuring of the contracts that we provide, are we increasing the number that go to women and minority owned? Because that to me is more of an indicator of us. So that's just my general, like, I'd love for the final version to be clearer of how we're measuring it, clearer if we can, like literally numerically, if it's something that we're looking for a percentage increase or whatever, because I don't know what success looks like if I see a 1.5%. In some measurements, 1.5% is like a phenomenal improvement. In others, it's statistically irrelevant. So just if you can get there, that would be really helpful for us. And then I think my last comment would just be, just because that's what we're measuring now, doesn't mean that's what we should measure. I'm nervous of looking at what successful deflection is an indicator that actually moved somebody forward in their recovery journey. I don't think making a phone call is something that I would particularly say, yes, actually entered treatment. And that was one of them. And I was like, yeah, that is like a measurable thing that we can say. Even if they didn't complete, that was, like, we did an important step. That's just kind of my feedback. But overall, I can see a tremendous amount of work. I'm really pleased with the buy-in we have. I'm very interested in how this is operationalized and like what the structure for that is. And I think, you know, like for a draft, this is really strong, and I'm excited to see where we go.
Thank you. Thanks for, I know you guys heard it, but I really appreciate the work. I know you've talked to everybody on the board ahead of time to share this and garnered some feedback, and I think you heard more today. So there's a lot of interest in this. I think I appreciate the place that we are right now. I think it would be helpful to talk a little bit about the relationship between indicators and goals. And I say this because we just had this same conversation at the Steering and Oversight Committee for our homeless response system as we're putting in place new key performance indicators for our homelessness response system across the county with our jurisdictional partners and other partners, where we voted and agreed on all of the different key performance indicators that we were gonna be looking at around the issue of homelessness. And our next step is to put together goals for those, but not every single key performance indicator is necessarily gonna have a goal. That's what I'm interested in is we have a list of indicators. Which of those are we able to measure or should be measuring because they're directly related to the work that the county does? And what are some of the things that you're looking at for
kind of bigger picture or place. So I would like to have a better understanding of that so we can have some further conversations around that.
Agreed. Thank you.
Okay, great. Well, I want to thank everyone. I know this has been an ongoing body of work for a while. I want to thank the four of you there, as well as all of the folks, the employee research and data team and or unit, and all of the folks who participated at the county. This is really built on the work that we did last year around the mission, vision, and values work to create some shared understanding of the big picture, you know, reasons that we're doing this work, what our goal is, what our vision is for things. And then this is really about drilling down and how we're going to actually be working in concert to achieve that vision, to fulfill our mission. And then, you know, and I was really glad to see the connection to the budget, because to me that's key, right? We have to have a good understanding of the dollars that we allocate and how they are going to actually further these goals that we have set in place here. So I think the goals piece and the budget piece are the really important next steps that we are going to be leaning into together. So thanks, all of you. Really appreciate this. I appreciate the time before the board today. That concludes today's meeting. Our next meeting will be a regular meeting scheduled for Thursday, August 28th at 9:30 a.m. There being no further business, we are adjourned.